The Institute for the Humanities at Salado presents Understanding Vietnam, Code 9B-48-82, a continuation of the summation and discussion.
That if that nobody was going to take care of them if they didn't take care of themselves. And so it was right that it was a veterans initiative. It was also right that within a matter of 3 weeks, thanks to Senator Mathias of Maryland, 100 senators had co-sponsored the legislation that granted the land on the mall for the memorial. But it was even more right that the entire public was asked to pay for it. I mean, it seems to me it's a perfect formula to pay tribute to the veterans, those who served and those who survived, and those who gave their lives, and those who were wounded, all of them. If I convey to you in any sense that was patronizing, what I said about Reagan's remark at the VFW convention in 1980 was that if what he meant was that good intentions paved the road all the way down, I think we've heard enough, a lot, I think, about the intentions of Agent Orange was to save lives. The intention of a limited war was to save lives. These all turned out to be very heavy miscalculations. But I would be the last person in the world to lay that on the Vietnam veterans.
Yes. You want to give him that? Oh, you got one. Okay.
I'd like to follow up on the... I'm Marvin Dunn from San Antonio. I'd like to follow up on the comments about the vet centers. We discussed this in our noon group, and there are several points that I think are worth sharing with the entire group. First of all, the vet centers do represent one of the few public actions taken by our government specifically for the Vietnam veterans. To reemphasize what was just said, the funding for these centers will in fact go away in a fairly short period of time unless the Congress takes a deliberate action to extend the authority. Third point is that it's often frustrating to come to a conference such as this, feel a need to do something and not know exactly what to do. I think each of us would like to be sure that the National Security Council exercises integrity, people have character. It's kind of hard for us to do something about that. But if you would like to take a simple, direct action and express your feelings, sit down and write a letter to your congressman. Ask them to extend the authority and funding for the vet centers. And at the same time, this is an excellent vehicle that you can use to express whatever feelings you have about Vietnam, past, present, and future. Thank you.
I would also suggest that those of you who have not been to one of the vet centers in the city in which you live, that you maybe contact the people here and ask to drop by and see what's going on there. Yes.
My name is Lang Caraway, and I'm from the University of Mary Hardin Baylor in Belton. And my question is, if youth are not mainstreamed into this dialogue, and from the looks of things, they haven't been, how are you going to pass the values of these lessons on?
That's a good question. Let me ask, can you give that back to him? Let me ask you, have you forgotten Vietnam? Do you not care about Vietnam? Is it as distant?
Let me give you an example. On our campus, we showed a movie about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the name of the movie was Bridge Over River Kwai. And one of the leaders on our campus, one of the brighter, more intelligent students, came and asked me, Lane, if this movie is about Vietnam, why are there Japanese in it? Yes. It's not that we've forgotten. We haven't been taught.
No. Do you think it's important that you do find out?
Yes,
your
yes,
question
I do.
Should
um, And the reason I do is, let me quote something from your little literature thing here. The difficulty of our time is the difficulty of the human spirit. We have to abandon the illusions which some of our ancestors were able to cherish, that our difficulty is primarily political, economic, technological, or educational. The social order has been rearranged, and old evils appear under new names. Literacy has flourished, and taste has been abased. Good has been produced and distributed in untold quantities and blown up in the same untold quantities. Things seem to be bigger. They do not seem to be better. We are at last face to face with the fact that our difficulty is a difficulty of the human spirit. We need to know that this is one of the points where the difficulty of the human spirit has surfaced, and we need to be taught how to deal with the fact that, yes, there are problems with us as a human race, and those problems need to be faced before we get in positions that y'all have had. And the decisions that you made in those positions you're living with now.
Is there any organized effort to put you and my brothers on the street to serve the United States?
I don't know whether there is or not. I don't think so. Maybe some people from the... Yes. Did you hear that question? Or Liz Carpenter was asking if there was any organized effort to get Vietnam veterans out into... the schools. And I do know there's a Linda Hall, who's here from San Antonio, is saying that she's going to start, you're beginning a course on Vietnam next year at, is it Trinity? And that's one of the things she plans to do, is to get veterans in there and talk about it. But it should be a very valuable experience. But
yes, in Houston,
Why don't you wait for that mic to...
I'm Chuck Williams with the Disabled American Veterans and been the Vietnam Veteran Outreach Coordinator for the Houston area since June of 79. Myself and Mr. Lynn Denny, who's a co-worker with Vastine Hightower at the Vet Center there, have put together a slide presentation, and we've taken it to several middle schools and high schools in the Houston area and given them a presentation. I've also had psychologists that have been facilitating rap groups there. And they've gone with us, too, to give a psychological sort of a makeup of the Vietnam veteran and what we've been talking about here, the stigma that's been attached to the Vietnam veteran. They've been well received, and the doctors were very surprised at the knowledge that the kids did have, that they wanted to learn, that they were really interested. And I think we all came away with a good feeling about the whole thing. But we've been doing it for a couple of years.
In the back, Professor Herring.
Yeah, I would like to second that. There's a great deal of interest and a great deal of curiosity, and I think more and more in history departments at the high school and the college level, concern to try to do it. There's also a lot of concern about the implications of what you're doing. In other words, what kind of lessons are you going to draw? How are you going to handle problems like bias? And the like, but I spoke at a conference in Kentucky last week. I'm speaking in Cleveland next week. I've done the same kind of thing with the Vet Center at home and with veterans individually whose students have put me into contact with. It's been a very good experience, and I certainly will encourage it where I speak, when I speak. So I think there's great interest and an effort to try to respond to the interest, a little uncertainty yet as to how to handle it.
There seems to be a confluence of for whatever reason, and maybe we could talk about this, but a confluence of interest, as the professor described, and also action on the part of the veterans, and it all seems to have happened fairly recently. And I just wanted to mention something that came up at our lunch discussion today, because I thought there were two intriguing theories were proposed about why it's happening now, what is it there so magically therapeutic about a 10 years of time. And what was noted was that most of the veterans are roughly between the ages of 30 and 35, and that there are two things that generally happen to a young man or woman of that age. and that is that, first of all, it's at that time that one usually sort of makes a semi-final decision, at least, about his life. You know, what am I going to continue to teach? Am I going to switch careers? Am I going to stay in San Antonio, or am I going to move to Phoenix? This sudden awakening, or whatever you want to call it, may be related to that. Then somebody else mentioned that this is also a time when people who are around my age, 35, or even a little bit younger, a little bit older, start to come to grips with mortality and all that that suggests. And I just wanted to throw those two theories out, if only for you to think about them. Right here.
My name is Susan Cockrell. I'm from Temple. I waited as long as I can. I waited all morning for some woman to stand up and be as angry as I am, and she didn't come forth, and I guess she's not going to, so it'll have to be me again. I'm not qualified to speak for all women or any particular woman, only myself. But I don't understand how 58 of us, by my count, can be so passive about all of this. We've sat and we've listened to a description of a war that the finest male minds the United States has to offer up constructed for us. I did not lose any sons, fathers, brothers, or husbands in the war in Vietnam. I was one of the lucky ones. I live in very comfortable circumstances. But the women are out there who did lose all that can be lost in a war. There are parents who lost sons. There are women who lost husbands and sons. Who is going to speak for them? Why did we not have a woman as one of the central speakers of this panel? Why are women sitting and saying, by their silence, that we are going to allow the finest male minds to construct a nightmare for us that will affect our lives? I believe that Lyndon Johnson was as much a victim of sexism as I am, or you are. I believe that women have a lot to offer. I am sorry that there was such a slight applause when Gretchen stood up and said, were there not enough women at the planning tables? Why are women not included? Do we have to pound on the door and stomp our feet and come on strong to get in the door? Or are you going to include us? I'm angry. I would like to hear the next response from another woman. If she disagrees with me, stand up and say so. If she agrees with me, I want to hear from her. Right, there are women who are living with the men who are having the nightmares. They are sleeping in the same beds with them. They are watching their family lives go down the drains with men who are on alcohol and drugs. The foreign policy of year 2000 is being constructed in my kitchen right now. My sons and daughters are going to have a grasp on what's going on. Do you care? Do you care what I think? Do you care what this woman thinks?
I think if you're asking me personally, yes. And I think if you're asking other people here, of course. And can you be heard? Yes.
Don't say of course. I want to hear another woman.
I'm Lillian Barajas Gallegos, and I'm from El Paso. I work with Vietnam vets, and I work with their spouses, and I see a lot of the alienation that they're going through. I see the spouses with a lot of isolation and a lot of anger also. The other thing I see is that we are open to female vets, but we are not getting them in, okay? And I think that they are starting to come out of the closet. The other thing I think is that we do not know how many women were served in Vietnam, and I would like to know that too.
Marcy Busick, Austin. Susan, you're right. What we do have to do is pound on the doors and maybe possibly the ears of the people that are concerned, because I have been doing that for some time in one form or another, and it's been a progressive thing. What you're talking about when you address the problem of your children is something that maybe only the mothers in this audience can hear. But the gentleman over here who was talking about the Bridge Over the River Kwai being a Vietnamese film, and a young man in our luncheon, would Charlie mind standing up? Is he here? Charlie is attending A&M, I take it, and he is wearing a uniform as part of the training program there. Charlie told us that he is experiencing discrimination because of wearing that uniform. Charlie is 18. I have a 14-year-old son and a 12-year-old son. I hear what he is going through, and I am worried about it. That's a legacy that we have passed down to them, and that's a responsibility that we have to address. Why should he have to suffer for the discrimination that we experienced as military people during the Vietnamese War? What are we going to do about that? We're 34 and 35 on up, and it's our chance now to take care of that, generation of veterans and potential veterans, and that hurt. I don't mind feeling my own pain, but I don't want to give it to somebody else. And that's what's happening. These children are bearing the product of the hatred and the resentment and the division in this country that occurred for that war. And that's something that the generals that are now in office and the administrators, if they have the nerve, are going to need to address. And which one more thing, the female veteran, I don't think is aware of the problems that are there. She, I feel, by and large, was a product of the mid-generation of pre-liberation and post-1950s complacency. And too many of them have changed names. They've married, they've divorced, they've run away, they've hidden, they've stayed in the kitchen, or they've stayed behind the typewriter. And these people need to be sought out. You don't just wait for them to come in. If you have a vet center, advertise in the newspaper, get it on a talk show on TV, drum on the doors and the ears of people, and ask for the female veteran, ask for her experience. Ask how many of them got pregnant to get out. Ask how many know somebody that committed suicide. Ask how many of them had sexual abuse, had other forms of discrimination. Find out what happened to them. Invite somebody that has the nerve to speak. I will be happy to do that myself, or any other person that has an experience and something to say. And give that woman a chance to identify what's going on, because she may not know it. She is now dealing with it as a housewife. She has forgotten herself that she was a veteran because she was not treated like a person when she was in. But I'm really more concerned about the issue of Charlie and the fact that evidently down in A&M there's a problem that we created in the 60s.
Gary, is there a mic? There it goes. Oh, okay.
Is this mic working? The Vet Center in San Antonio, I'd like to say two things. One is in reference to your invitation to join Vet Center. The Vet Center at 1916 Fredericksburg Road in San Antonio is going to be open Veterans Day from 10 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. It's going to be an open house. Certainly encourage anybody and everybody, you know, to attend, drop by, see what a Vet Center looks like. Our staff's going to be available to answer any questions. We're going to have some videotapes available and refreshments. It is a federal facility, so it's not a BYOB. In reference to women, likewise in El Paso Vet Center, and I think a lot of the vet centers nationwide, there is a very strong outreach effort, although I believe it can be stronger, to get women into our program. We recognize that they are there. I think there's some, I'm not going to go into explanations or thoughts about why they're not coming in. We are doing a lot of outreach. One of the things that we're getting ready to do right after Veterans Day is try a different approach and say, instead of coming in for counseling, you know, why don't you women come in and help us figure out how we can, you know, get other women in. Not for counseling. Come on in, join a group, whatever you want to call it, you know, in a sense to establish what are the women's problems and why they're not coming in for counseling. Help us figure that out because we've given it a shot. Thank you.
One more. Okay, over here.
I want to respond to the young woman who is so very, very angry. I am spending every day of my life working as hard as I can, acquiring the knowledge and working with the men who have the delayed stress syndrome, and with the wives and with the women. I feel like from my style, to be angry does not accomplish what I want to accomplish. I feel like with the people I work with, they listen better if I'm not so terribly angry and pounding on the table. It's okay for other people to be angry, but not for me. I'm more effective, I think, when I'm coming on straight, genuine, clear.
You're a counselor with troubled families of Vietnam veterans?
Yeah. And the goal for myself is to learn more about the political, social, military aspects, and to be at some peace with it so that I can speak out and help. If I'm upset all the time, I cannot relate so well.
Did you see that I'm not angry at them? I'm angry at policymakers.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry with them. Oh, yeah. No, I'm angry with us human beings that cannot move as rapidly as we need to move sometimes. But there's my anger's not going to change that. Well, it gives energy.
I think we can take one more question.
Sure, this is a question.
It may be a final comment, Stryker. It seems to me that at least one consensus here, as almost universally, would be that war is morally wrong. One of the generals said there's no such thing as a nice, clean war. If war is morally wrong, then it follows that war is based on a lack of strong ethical conviction, or at least that ethical considerations are subordinated to other considerations, such as the national interest. It seems to me that we will always have considerations about whether to go to war that will involve an ethical judgment. And I'm going to cite just one war in which I think you could debate long and vigorously about whether the ethical issue could have been resolved any other way. And that was the decision that set off the Civil War, which resulted, among other things, in the freeing of 45 slaves over here at the Robertson home where Liz Carpenter was born. So I would say that my feeling of concerns I leave here, aside from the problems that are real for the Vietnam veterans, is the problems that face all of us in society if people in positions of authority, in education, in government, in the churches, in the homes, are not teaching a strong set of ethical values. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to conclude the symposium with a very few comments. First, I have learned a great deal. I think the most important thing I've learned is the widening dimension of who we are concerned with. I start out concerned with the veterans who have been most severely psychologically traumatized. But it is also not the 500,000 who were in this group, not the 1.6 million who were in combat. And as time has gone on, I realized it's not even the 8+ million who were Vietnam veterans. It's all of us. We are all, as Michael Hare in his book Dispatches, his last words of the book are, Vietnam, 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 we have all been there. And I think we have all been there, and I've been there more today because of this weekend, and we all have been there more because of this weekend, I think. And we can learn and we can do things about it. I've been moved by people wanting to do things and coming up with concrete ideas of what to do about it. When I wrote down the note to remind myself of General Kennard's moving comment, the recognition that I too am a veteran and I'm going to be talking to veterans, I wrote down General Herring. So we're all connected and interconnected. The two themes that were in my mind, and the people who organized the symposium, were healing and understanding. Healing means to make whole, to unite what is divided and fragmented. Healing means holy. That is the derivation of it. That is the spirit that the young man back there spoke of. So that and understanding, which means to grasp meaning, understanding mean also the present, the current. Understanding, the derivation of that word is to mean what is with us now. And the last aspect of understanding is stand, to take a stand. To take a stand for the vet centers, to write your congressman, to take a stand if you believe the colleges need education and awareness, to initiate that yourself. And anyone in this group will probably help you do this. It'll have to come from you, just like you said the memorial comes from the veterans. The action comes from each of us, and nobody's going to tell anybody what's best to do. You will all know that.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your tape over and continue on side two.